Well, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope your day and your week is off to a great start. This past Sunday, I had the opportunity to teach at the Delaware campus, which was just a joy for me personally, as the church in Delaware has been so pivotal in my walk with Christ, my wife's walk with Jesus, and really in the support of this church plant that God has allowed us to be a part of in Marion. And so on Sunday, we continued in the Uncommon Crown series, and we were in Matthew chapter 1. And as I was reading commentaries and reading different pastors and theologians and things regarding chapter 1, I kept running across this consistent sort of statement about chapter 1, that it was sort of the forgotten chapter of the Gospels, which was fascinating to me. And then I began to sort of think about that, and it was like, you know, I think that's probably right on, because when you open chapter 1, which is this gospel account, and we know gospel means good news, and so when you open chapter 1, you're sort of expected to be, you're anticipating being wowed. You're like, okay, this is the greatest news of all time. This is chapter 1. This is opening the New Testament of the scriptures. God has been silent for 400 years. This needs to blow me away. And, you know, you don't actually say all that, but we sort of have these expectations, and we live in a culture where everything is vying for our attention. We live very much in a civilization of hyperbole, where everything has to be amazing in order to get us to even glimpse at it. You know, you have Disneyland saying it's the most magical place on earth, and Coca-Cola saying that if we buy their product, it'll open happiness, right? Sorry, I'm getting fired up about this, but that's the world that we live in. And so then when we open Matthew and we read these first lines that say, this is the genealogy, or this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Maybe your translation says, this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. Both have the same meaning. We're a little bit underwhelmed. And then what we see is that Matthew is going to literally list 42 generations. And we're like, okay, I get the point. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to shift over to chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, now then things are happening. And I think, frankly, that's oftentimes what we do when we get to lists of names, when we get to genealogies in the scriptures. And as I was studying and as I was reading through this this week, I think when we do that, we miss who Jesus is. And that's part of what this series is about. It's about sort of bringing Jesus into the forefront of our lives and seeing the King that Jesus really is. And so I was thinking about, well, how would a first century, you know, Jew read this first verse? And you know, slightly dangerous, because I'm not a first century Jew. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I would imagine that as they're reading this, they're really reading the meaning of the words while we're just reading the words. Okay, so for example, genealogy, right? The book of the genealogy. We're lucky if we know our great-great-grandparents' names. You know, unless we had a dedicated great aunt, or we spent some money, on ancestry.com, we probably have no idea. But for the Jews, for the Israelites, ancestry and genealogy was everything to prove legitimacy. God's covenant chosen people were Israel, and you had to be able to prove that you were an Israelite. And so your family would track their genealogical records with incredible diligence and scrutiny. Genealogies were sort of referenced and noted when people were selling land, buying or selling land. They were they would be able to prohibit or allow someone to be a priest, right? If you were from the tribe of Levi, you could be a priest. There's so many things that the genealogies were important for. And so what Matthew is doing is he's opening his book with, this is the book of the genealogy. He's essentially saying, hey, this is all of the evidence that you need to know that Jesus came from the lines that he had to come from, that Jesus came from the ancestry or from the genealogy he had to come from. And then you go into the names, Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah. You know, in our culture, we choose names based upon how they sound when you put them all together, when you add the first name, the middle name, and the last name. And if that has a nice ring to it, we're like, great, let's do it. Like, we love that name. I don't really think there's anything wrong with that. But in ancient times, people chose names not based upon how they sounded together. That's why you read in the Bible, there's all sorts of crazy sounding names. They chose names based on the meaning of the name. And the name Jesus means Yahweh or Jehovah saves. It means God saves. And when you look at chapter 1 and verse 21, what you see is this angel tell Joseph, you'll name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Right? And so that's what the name Jesus means. And then Messiah or Christ, so Jesus the Messiah or Jesus Christ, both and Messiah, the same word translated in different language, they mean anointed one, right? So what Matthew is saying here, when we just read, yeah, okay, bunch of lists of names, here's his name, okay, next. What the Jews would have read, I think, is this, something along the lines of this. This is all of the evidence that you need to know with certainty that Jesus Christ is the anointed Savior of the world. That Jesus Christ is the chosen, set apart person who God is going to use to save his people from their sins. And suddenly that opener goes from, yeah, yeah, okay, whatever, to this is the most important news you've ever read. And I think it's so important we slow down and take the time to really read the scriptures to study, because suddenly that gives weight to everything else you're about to read. Suddenly the sort of the epic nature of that opening allows us to open our eyes to see what the rest of the genealogy has for us. And I was reading another pastor, one of my favorites, J.D. Greer, and he said, look, the genealogy here, the next 42 generations within that genealogy is really everything you need to know about Christianity. And that was an amazing statement. That's really where I spent the rest of my time on Sunday, is just looking how that is actually true. That as we look at the broken, messy people in this genealogy, we see a picture of the gospel. We see that history doesn't control the plans of God, but God controls the events of history, right? We see these incredible things. And I think what I really want to say to you this morning as you go into your day is sometimes we need to slow down to really see and worship the Lord. And I know that's needed for my own soul, to slow down, to process, to pray, to ask God to open my eyes to see, because I am often so blind, because I'm in such a hurry. And so this morning, as you go into your day, I want to ask the Lord that you would slow down, that you would take a moment to really be in awe over what God has done through his Son and over what the Word really shows us about who Jesus is. And so I want to pray to that end. I want to ask you to pray as well. And I want to thank you for being a part of the Drivecast today. Let's pray. Now, Father, we do thank you and we praise you for your word, that it is incredible. And we ask that you would allow us to slow down, to spend time in it, to have our eyes open to what you're doing and who you are. Father, that you would, in doing that, really lead us to worship. That we would worship you, Jesus, because you are the chosen one, the anointed one who came to take away the sins of the world. And that we would, Father, be in awe over that. So send your Spirit to do that in us. We need you. We love you. We praise you today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.